The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and a happy Super Bowl weekend. It is the final weekend of football of the 2015-2016 season. So enjoy it while it lasts. But we're here talking about National Signing Day. It was Wednesday. Indiana signed 21 prospects. And, you know, it was a pretty good class. We'll welcome in Nick Holmes and TJ Inman, both joining us right now. Nick, how are you?
Hey, I'm not bad. I'm really excited to talk about some of these new recruits and upcoming spring ball.
Awesome. TJ, I know it's a big weekend for you as well. Hopefully you don't have to run out on the podcast, but if you do, we wish you the best of luck, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, so far baby number two is not quite ready to come out, but we're getting there, and like you said, a pretty solid class for IU, a lot of players that I know we're very intrigued about. The only bad thing right now is that spring ball is still a little bit away. I know we're all ready to get into it. There's just a lot to be excited about and a lot of questions that need to be answered, and we're ready to get going.
Yeah, this class is a class that finished 11th in the Big Ten on 247 site, on the composite site. So it's something that, you know, they finished up strong late. That's been a staple of Kevin Wilson's tenure here at IU. People have said this is the lowest ranked class since 2012. And, you know, Wilson in his press conference pointed out that that class produced three All-Americans and Nate Sudfeld. So it's not a bad class. Anyway, let's go through a little bit. This class was geared towards the offensive side of the ball. Let's start with running backs. IU signed Keontae Ennis, who flipped from Michigan, and Cole Guest out of Ohio, as well as TJ's personal favorite, Tyler Nady. So let's go through some of these running backs and see how they'll fit in next year. TJ, we'll start with you.
You mentioned Tyler Nady, so I'll start with him. You know, we're not going to go through all the measurables and everything of these guys, but you can certainly find those on our recruiting profiles, which are up on the site. But Tyler Nady, kid from Euless, Texas, he was a quarterback for much of his high school career. And for those who don't know, Euless, Texas is a very good program in a very good football state. So it's surprising that he's a quarterback if you look at him. Get kid that's 260 and he's maybe 6 foot, probably about 5'10", 5'11". Obviously very powerful, but what's surprising about him is that he's pretty nimble for a guy his size. It's not like the weight is making him just a big bowling ball. Like, he's able to move around. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Indiana uses him, because he really is not at Indiana. Kevin Wilson has not had a guy of his size and skill set. He did at Oklahoma, a guy by the name of Trey Millard. And I think it'd be worthwhile to kind of go back, and this is something I'm going to do during the offseason, go back and look at how he was deployed at Oklahoma under Kevin Wilson as the offensive coordinator. But I think that what we could see is him used in some different packages. He'll be an extra blocker at times. He'll be a running back at times. Who knows, maybe even some wildcat if Indiana decides to go that route. I think he's very intriguing. Keontae Ennis is the highest rated running back to come in from Winchester, so it's good to get an in-state kid. You know, he's a little bit of a taller back. He's similar in body build more to Tevin Coleman, certainly than Tyler Nady is or Cole Guest is. Just a taller back, upright running style, pretty explosive guy. His stats from high school are just insane. I mean, I it was about 7,000 yards. Is that right?
Yeah, Coach McCullough the other day was talking about how he put up video game numbers in high school, and he's a player that I think they're going to start out at running back, and if there's a log jam there, he proves that he can. They need him in other places. He's obviously an option. They talk about him just being a strict athlete. And then with Jess, like you were mentioning, he's a smaller guy, 5'8", 5'9". I saw him last summer before he got his offer from IU. I saw him at one of the camps, and he was just absolutely blowing by defensive backs. He was working out of the slot a little bit, and he looks ready to play today. I mean, he's already got the build, the physique, and I think Coach Wilson's really optimistic about what he'll bring to the offense, because like you said, he's versatile. You can run it, line him up in the backfield, move him out into the slot. And I think that's the way with a lot of guys that they brought in this class that are just capable of making impacts all over the field. But I'm obviously particularly fond of Jess just because I'm also not the biggest guy in the room. So I always root for those smaller guys.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about him, he's, during his junior season, he was in a running back competition with a senior that ended up going to Michigan State, a guy by the last name of Dow, and he ended up beating him out, and they moved that kid to the secondary, and he got on the field last year for Michigan State as a true freshman. Cole Guest beat him out to get the running back position, forced that kid to the secondary, and then put up great numbers. I mean, he had really good numbers junior and senior season. So, yeah, I mean, the measurables on him don't look like your typical Big Ten running back, but all he's done is produce whenever he's gotten the chance to do so. And I do think he's a guy that could move around some to running back, to slot, H-back. I mean, he's a guy that I think the bottom line with these running backs is the offensive coordinator, Kevin Johns, and Kevin Wilson are going to have a lot of fun figuring out how to utilize these players.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look at the class, you have a lot of guys who can play all over the place. Next, I do want to take a look at some of the receivers they brought in. They added late in the game Phil Beckner. Tasier Mack was very late in the game, and then a couple weeks before signing day was Jonah Morris, who is probably the best signee of the group. You know, these wide receivers, they all have one thing coming, they're bigger bodies. That's something that Wilson wanted to do. He had mentioned this numerous times over the last couple years. You know, at the beginning of his tenure at IU, the wide receiver position had gotten small, and he's getting these big bodies in, and they're 6'4", 6'3", 6'2". And so we'll see a lot more guys of size like Simi Cobbs mixing with guys like Mitchell Page or Ricky Jones, who are smaller and should give IU more balance in the passing game and at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I think Morris is where I think Morris is probably the most likely to see immediate playing time out of this group. He's from Ohio again, and he had a strong class from Ohio. That's pretty typical for this coaching staff. It's a state that Indiana's done well in and had gotten some really good players on the current team from. And I think Jonah Morris is definitely the highest rated of the group. He was a Michigan State commit previously. So he had a lot of big-time offers. He chose Indiana over. I think Michigan State maybe was looking at him as a linebacker, outside linebacker. Indiana's looking at him currently on the offense. That could change if they, you know, maybe see, well, we're so stockpiled at wide receiver, and we really like you at linebacker, but I think he'll probably stick at wide receiver for his freshman season and see how that goes. He's a big kid that really you could slide outside as kind of a Simi Cobbs understudy, I think is the most likely role, or you could see him maybe treated as kind of a tight end that splits out wide. So I don't know. He's a versatile guy. Phil Banker from Florida, he's another good recruit. Like you said, these are all bigger guys. And then Casey or Mack, He committed from Rutgers, slipped to Indiana very late. He had some good offers. Kid from New York, which is not an area that Indiana has usually gotten a lot of guys from, but I got a couple from this class. That's exciting for you, Sammy. Your neck of the woods there.
Yeah, and I spoke to one of the high school coaches that I'm friendly with in the area, and he said Taysier Mack was a guy that he tried to recruit to the high school he coaches at. He's a very, very hardworking kid, and he thinks he's going to be a nice player for the Hoosiers. And you saw him, IU had to hold off Penn State there over the last, you know, couple days, couple weeks. I believe Penn State offered him on the 19th after a visit. But, you know, it's a nice grab for IU, and we'll transition into who's going to be throwing them the ball. We put out, TJ, you put out a piece on earlier this week on Instant Impact, guys, and we kept Richard Legault out of there just because it is so obvious that he's going to be the Instant Impact guy of this class. You know, JUCO transfer, he has the same body type as Sudfeld, his arm strength terrific. Yeah. And so you'd think he would just slide in with little adjustment, time for adjustment, and we'll see if, you know, Indiana's season depends on him. If he could slide in there and make that seamless transition, then the sky's the limit for this offense. And it's really it gets you fired up just thinking about it. So if Richard Legault could go in there at quarterback, they also brought in Peyton Ramsey, a high school quarterback. I believe that he's going to redshirt. IU has Austin King is probably going to back up Legault. I have Diamant in the mix and two other guys, and Danny Cameron back there as well. So it'd be a nice year for Peyton Ramsey to redshirt, get into the weight room, get his body size right, and then be that guy who's bridging from Sudfeld to himself. And Legault is that next step as well. But now Indiana's finally stockpiling some talented depth at quarterback.
Yeah, something really important about Ramsey is, and we've talked about this, and I've spoken to him a couple times, is he's a coach's son, so he's a learner of the game. He eats it up, thinks about it night and day. So, like you said, Sammy, an extra year, putting on some extra weight, some strength, learning the offense a little better. In 2017, 2018, he should be good to go, depending on how great of a season Legault has this upcoming year. And then another name that you didn't mention that might be in the race to see some snaps at quarterback this year is Donovan Hell. Now, I know he ended up at wide receiver part of the year, but he just brings an interesting skill set to the position, some athleticism and a pretty big body. So not someone to maybe overlook or could be in the mix at some point. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. It looks like Legault is the guy from day one, and as long as he can go in there, become comfortable with what the offense is trying to do, which, based on his tape, shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, and he's an early enrollee. He'll be in for spring practice, so I think that's immensely important for IU to get him those 15 practices. He was in some of the ball practices, so he has some under his belt, but he's now gaining the trust of his receivers, gaining the trust of his teammates. And we'll see him during the spring, so that'll be nice to see as well. Now, another strength of this class for IU was the offensive line. You had Mackenzie Wara, who apparently has some Nigerian royalty in his bloodlines. You also brought in Coy Cronk out of Purdue's backyard in Lafayette and some other guys. So offensive line, I really think, is going to be a strength here.
Yes, Mackenzie Nora is the guard. Grayson Stover, kid from Florida that Indiana was able to get. Let's see, Ryan Smith from Ohio. Very good two-way athlete. And it looks like they're going to put him on the offensive line. He was coming off of an injury in his senior season, so I put him down as my most likely to redshirt, and that's not a knock on Ryan Smith. It's just he's coming into a position that is, I mean, they don't need freshmen to play on the offensive line, which is a great thing for offensive linemen. You want them to have a couple years to get bigger, get stronger, and then come in when they're redshirt sophomores or redshirt juniors and really excel as older players in the system. So Nora Quickronk, yeah, and he was upgraded to a 4-star by a couple different services. Another guy that played on offense and defense, and his tape shows he's got a mean streak to him in a good way. I mean, not cheap shots, but he'll finish the play. It's kind of the parlance they use. I really think that Quickronk and Mackenzie Dora are guys that if in an absolute pinch Indiana needed them to, which it would take quite a few injuries to need this, but if in an absolute pinch, I think those two later in the season would be able to contribute. And then I think that beginning next year, they're guys that you'll look to really push for playing time. And then I think Ryan Smith and Grayson Stover, a couple years down the line, look like guys that if they develop could be, you know, quite strong. I know that Nick, you're pretty high on this offensive line class, and it makes sense. I mean, it seems to me like this is kind of the strength of the program. I think everybody recognizes how good Greg Fry is at his job, and it looks like he's got some really good clay to mold with this group.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it seems like every time Coach Fry goes out and picks his guys, gets the ones that he wants, they seem to grow quickly into the role. I mean, we talked about this the other day through text messaging, just how much depth this offensive line has, and there's some really talented guys that have yet to even sniff the field. And I think whenever they committed a couple of years ago, we all thought, yeah, these guys are destined to have a huge impact. Now, that's not saying that they haven't in practice or as scout team players, but expectations wise, some of these highly ranked guys have still not been able to crack the rotation, which says a lot about just the development that this program's had along the offensive line, which always wasn't a strength in years past.
Yeah, and you know, it's now a luxury that you could redshirt some of these guys. I think the stat was that Indiana had played 60 true freshmen over the 5 years that Wilson has been here. So that's 12 a year. It's about half the class on average gets to play. So it's a luxury to get these guys redshirted, get them in the program. I know not playing kind of stinks, but the depth of the offensive line is pretty good. They also bring in a couple of tight ends, a JUCO guy and Ian Thomas, who we all thought was flipping to Texas A&M. But we're glad that he's at IU. You have Sean Bonner out of Georgia, a late addition as well, a 6'3", 250-pound guy. So the tight end position, after losing a couple guys to graduation, and we'll see if Danny Friend comes back for another year as well, it gets reloaded. So that's nice to see. But let's flip over the defensive side of the ball. There was some good recruiting in the secondary, which is a very – big need for IU. We saw Brandon Drayton out of Florida from Largo. IU will have a potential starting safety squad of Largo alumni of Jonathan Crawford and Brandon Drayton. You know, you have Khalil Bryant out of Jacksonville, Florida, who looks to be pretty solid. You also have A'shaun Riggins out of Ohio as well, Hamilton, Ohio, which is the same high school as Marcus Oliver. So these secondary players, it is something that IU focused on, and you saw it last season that the secondary was the weak spot. And you also add in JUCO transfer Jamie Thompson, who's on campus, will be participating in spring practice as well. So now you have some depth and talent in the secondary on defense. So, Nick, what do you think about some of these DBs?
You know, most importantly, like you mentioned, having Thompson on campus during the spring ball will definitely go a long way in getting him acclimated to this level of ball. We know that he was a former Ohio State guy, went the JUCO route for a couple years, and now he's at IU. And I expect him to be a big impact player, especially in the secondary that at times was lacking some playmaking. Now we saw John Crawford, he had a big impact as a true freshman, but also importantly is just how long these guys are. You know, we got 6'1", 6'2", 6 foot, I think the only one that might be under 6 foot was Khalil Bryant. So I think that it looks like, once again, priority is to get size and length in the secondary and some ball hawks, some playmakers that maybe have been lacking in years past. And how many of these guys see action early on? Hopefully not all of them, aside from Thompson. It would be nice to see the returners step it up a little bit. They had some good moments. Like I mentioned, John Crawford had a solid, great year, and Fant also had a good year. So we just need some other people to step up, get healthy. I know that some injuries ravaged the secondary most of the year, so that'll be important too, just getting everybody back and healthy. And, yeah.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about this group, like you mentioned, the length and the athleticism, but I'm really going to be interested to see how many secondary players end up playing, because, number one, we're switching to Tom Allen's 4-2-5. It's yet to be seen exactly how that's going to be deployed. It'll be different based on, you know, game flow and different situations, but there's going to be necessity for more talented secondary players to play than there has been in previous systems. Kevin Wilson has mentioned that he felt like he overtaxed some of his secondary players last season, and they ended up just playing more snaps and wore down toward the end of the season. The stats would back that up. The secondary got worse as we went on, for the most part. There were a few discrepancies there, but for the most part, the secondary did wear down. So I think you're going to see quite a few guys in the rotation, and it's going to be fun to see how they who wins out the battles. That's going to be one of the big ones in spring ball, and then once these freshmen arrive, how they fit into the mix. But that hybrid position, that's kind of the fifth guy in the 4-2-5, is going to be one that we currently really have no clue what type of player is going to be looked at to fill that role, because we just haven't seen it before here, and there's different personnel maybe than what Tom Allen would ideally like. So it'll be a lot of fun to see how those puzzle pieces end up fitting together.
Yeah, it's going to be – this is the first time that I've been actually I'm always excited for spring practice and fall practice.
Yeah.
But this is, like, the first time I'm locked in. There are so many intriguing position battles. You have, you know, quarterback is going to be a battle. Running back is going to be a battle. We'll see who's there. It looks like they're going to try Kameon Patrick there. We'll see if that fits. But, you know,
you're salivating. You are salivating over. Yeah, I think you're already convinced it's going to stick.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to stick. But after what Wilson said after him about him after the Purdue game, that he's probably the best player on the team, it's something that people should be excited about. And I'm just getting goosebumps talking about him right now. But it's the spring you have.
Speaking of the the hybrid position, we kind of glossed over that pretty quickly. But one name that I had kind of thought about this last week, and I'm not sure if he went through senior day festivities or not, you guys may know better than me, but was Dawson Fletcher. He saw a lot of time in that nickel outside linebacker spot. He came in as a safety. He's added some weight. He's 6'2", 18". I don't know exactly what size they're looking for, but he seems like a name that could land there.
Yeah, there are so many people who could play at different spots, and, I mean, we listed off, I think it was yesterday, we listed off 5, 6, 7 guys who could be playing, you know, who could be fighting for playing time at that position. And some guys are going to be the odd men out. And same on the receiver side. There are, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 receivers. You get Jayshon Harris back. You know, is Dom Booth, has not been mentioned at all. Is he coming back and get some playing time? Are guys like Isaac James going to come back from injury? Is he going to play offense or defense?
Hawkins.
Everything's exactly. Another guy who I forgot about until I saw him on Instagram the other day. Where's Marty Hawkins going to play? You know, it'll be interesting to see if guys transfer after the spring to see where they're at, or, you know, if these position battles will probably go through the summer,
And we'll see on opening day, but there is a lot to be excited about, and it's fun to follow this as it goes along, because usually there aren't this many position battles, especially at IU. The last few years have been who's going to be quarterback, who's going to be at running back. But now you have it basically the offensive line is basically set. There are a few position battles there. But everything else is wide open, and it's going to be awesome to cover and awesome to speculate and come up with new things and have conversations. And so, you know, I sound like I can't wait till the season starts. So,
who else? Oh, Jerome Johnson. Yeah, we forgot the lone defensive lineman that was brought in, and I know a lot of people, including myself, are concerned about that. There are some guys that are left over that just have not gotten the chance to show themselves yet that can play on that defensive front. We'll get into those on later dates. But kid from three-star from Mississippi, Indiana got onto him late, and I think they're pretty happy to find a player that is, you know, pretty good quality. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like he's, you know, some immediate impact, great five-star, solves IU's, you know, defensive tackle position, but I think he can definitely be a contributor, if not this year, then down the line, 2017 class, they're going to really hit the defensive front pretty hard, I imagine.
Alan Stallings is another guy that we hadn't brought up, the flip from Central Michigan, and a lot of people have been high on him, maybe calling him the steal of our class. And then Marcelino Ball, he's turning 17 this spring, so he's only 16 years old, and
Yep.
So he's another guy who already looks the part, but it'd be nice if he could get a year of seasoning.
I think that's probably what you're looking at. It's a year of him maybe sitting out because he is so young, but physically he looks really, really good. I mean, and he had three older brothers that were able to play D1 football, including Reggie Ball, that's at Georgia Tech, and I forget the other one's name, but he plays for the Panthers, so he's in the Super Bowl. So, I think he's going to be an exciting guy down the road. He's got the physical ability for sure.
Yeah, and Alan Stallings, I think we're all excited about him. His weight's a little low, but that's because he's wrestling, and I believe Wilson said he was 27-1. On the national championship wrestling team, and that's pretty impressive. Being 27-1 on a national title wrestling team, wrestling and football. A lot of these defensive linemen have wrestling backgrounds. You look at Iowa, and they always love these kids on the line with wrestling backgrounds because they know how to use their leverage. They know how to use their hands. They're physical. They're quick, and all of that stuff. So Alan Stallings is somebody to keep your eye on. He was kind of an under-the-radar pickup, but he could be one of the hidden gems of this class as well. So quickly, guys, who won each? Nick, we'll start with you. Who's a guy to keep your eye on that IU signed in 2016?
I look for Jonah Morris to have an impact this fall. They need another big wide receiver on the outside, and he has everything you're looking for.
Right. TJ, how about you?
Yeah, I also took Jonah Morris as the instant impact guy. I think under the radar, I took Cole Guest as somebody that I think maybe not this year just because there are so many running backs. I think he will play some, but I think Brandon Drayton is a player that is going to end up being a really valuable member of Indiana's secondary. I just look at the impact that Jonathan Crawford has, and we heard that multiple people from Florida, but one in particular that is on our podcast, Lennon Ostrander, he compared Drayton favorably to Jonathan Crawford, so I just look at that as being a pretty good fit in this 4-2-5, and I think that the more playmakers, the better in any end of defense. So I'll go with Drayton.
Yeah, those are two good picks. I would probably go with Morris, and just because they need another big body wide receiver. You could play him anywhere in the slot, on the outside, and he'll come ready to go. Drayden's another good pick. But if I had to go with somebody different, I might go with Keontae Ennis. He's a guy who's highly rated. He could play all over the place. He could return kicks. You could put him at running back to spell whoever's there for a few snaps. You could put him in the slot and play him all over. He's ran the 100-yard dash in 10.53 seconds and is a 3-year letter winner in football, 4 years in basketball. He's just an overall great athlete, and I think that you'll see him all over the place on offense if they don't redshirt him. So I believe Ennis will play. I believe he'll be one of those guys, exciting guys to keep an eye on. So that's my pick. Guys, thanks for coming on a Saturday. Enjoy the Super Bowl. TJ, congratulations on child number two. Hopefully it comes this weekend. If not, hopefully it comes sooner rather than later. And Nick, thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll get together soon again.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Yep. Thanks, Sammy. Have a good week, everybody.
All right. That does it for our signing day wrap-up podcast. Follow us on HoosierHuddle.com. You can find the podcast also on iTunes. So do check that out and come back. We'll have our spring previews have already started. We had put up our quarterbacks preview last week. So take a look at that. We'll have running back previews coming up shortly, and we'll have throughout the rest of the downtime before spring ball, we'll have our previews out to you. So don't hesitate to tweet us. Don't hesitate to email us, comment on the site with questions. We'll love to have them. We'd love to answer them, and we'll do coming up. We'll do some fan Q&As, and have a great day. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.